Even today, by the way, the basis of all cosmetics is fats. I mean, I will never forget. I mean, it's a diversion, but I got to tell you, I once went to a chicken store called Pudgy's, which is in New York, and they specialized in chicken that didn't have skin. They took the skin off for people who were on diets and, you know, more healthful. And I remember asking the kid behind the counter, I said, what do you do with the chicken skins? You know, I sort of imagine thousands of chicken. I say, well, we have huge buckets of them, and somebody from a cosmetic company comes every night and picks up the buckets, and they make cosmetics. So it comes out of ancient Egypt, mixing your cosmetics with fats. And that's what the palate was used for. Now, the average guy had a small palate. This is big. It couldn't have been used by a person. It's quite different. It's what we call a ceremonial palate. It is used in temples. Now, in an Egyptian temple, there were statues of the gods. You would have a bronze statue, maybe 3 feet high even, of the god Amun, if it's a temple to Amun. You could have a statue of the cat goddess, Bastet. And in the Holy of Holies, these statues were kept in shrines. Every day, the priests would enter the temple, open the doors to the shrine, and anoint the statue of the god with cosmetics. And this Narmer palette, which is really fancy, and it's carved on both sides, decorated, is probably one of these temple palettes. Now, the thing that makes the Narmer palette so special, everyday palettes were flat because you want to just grind your cosmetics. This is carved on both sides, and it tells a story. And as I say, the story is of the unification of Egypt and Narmer conquering. Now for the story. On the first side of the palette, we see a king. And we can tell he's a king because he has a crown, the tall white crown. And he is standing above an enemy. He holds the enemy by the hair. And in his hand, he has a mace. Now, a mace is basically a rock on a stick. It's a round rock which is hollowed out, put on a shaft, and it's used, not unlike an axe, say, a small hand axe, to smash your enemy's head. So he has a mace in his hand, holding the enemy by the hair, and he's about to smash him. Now, this is a pose, the smiting pose, we call it, that is going to be used in Egypt for 3,000 years. 3,000 years after Narmer, the king is going to be shown in exactly the same pose, smiting his enemy. Right? So we have Narmer, white crown, smiting his enemy. Now, how do we know he's Narmer? Right? There are so many firsts on the Narmer palette, I can't emphasize how important it is. We have the first hieroglyphic inscriptions, the first real writing in ancient Egypt on the Narmer palette. At the top of the palette is a little rectangle. That rectangle represents the palace facade. It looks like there's a door going through and a couple of columns, maybe. It's very stylized. We call it the Serach. This is a palace facade. Okay. Now, inside that rectangle are two little figures drawn. One is a fish, and the other is a chisel. A fish and a chisel. Now, the fish was pronounced Nar, and the chisel is pronounced Mer, Narmer. This is the man who's in the palace. So that's how we know the king is named Narmer, from fish chisel. So another thing to pick up from the Narmer palette is, I think if you all gathered, it's a picture of a fish, it's a picture of a chisel, but we're not talking about fishes and chisels. Hieroglyphs are not phonetic. They're not just phonetic. They're not just pictographic, they're mixtures. See, everybody thinks at first hieroglyphs are all just picture writing. No, some are, some aren't. Then other people may jump to the conclusion, well, they're phonetic. No, they're not just phonetic, they're a mixture. In this case, these two hieroglyphs represent sounds. They are phonetic, and Narmer is our king. So we've got Narmer wearing the white crown, smiting. Now, on the same side of the palette, we see a falcon. And the falcon has a captive, who looks like the guy that Narmer was smiting, with a ring through his nose. And the falcon's holding the string. So he's got this guy by the nose, literally. Now, the falcon is the god Horus. And throughout Egyptian history, the pharaoh will be called the Horus on Earth. So in the Narmer-Palette, we are establishing another tradition that the pharaoh is going to be associated with the falcon god Horus. So we've got Narmer as a falcon holding the enemy through a ring through the nose. He is smiting him with a mace. Narmer is capturing the north. That's only one side of the palette. Flip it over, and you've got the conclusion of your story.